We gotta give thanks in bad times. We gotta give thanks in good times because God is with us. Amen. We gotta thank Him, God. When I go through good times, I thank You that You're with me, that You got my back. But I gotta thank Him in bad times too, also because He's with me. Amen. I gotta thank Him because I know, God, You're with me. God, I know You've got my back. I know You're protecting me. And God, I gotta thank Him for what He's teaching me. Amen. There's a reason God has me where I'm at. I'm not someone who believes that God takes His kids and puts bad things on them, right? I'm a dad, right? Scripture tells me He's our Father, right? He's our Heavenly Father. And it says that He won't give bad things to His kids. It says that God won't put anything on you more than you can bear. But as much as I know I won't give bad stuff to my kids, I won't put them in bad situations. I know sometimes there is cause for discipline, right? I do believe God lovingly takes us through situations to teach us a lesson that we maybe have been a little too stubborn to hear from our parents or to hear from our pastor or whatever situation in life that God was trying to teach you the nice way, right? When He was trying to show me something the good, nice, easy way, and I didn't listen. Sometimes God says, all right, you know, I do care about you enough to make sure you learn this very important lesson. And whatever I got to do to get through to you, I'm going to do that. But I don't believe God says, wakes up this morning and says, you know, I was really hoping last night in service that they were going to run a lap around that building because I did something really nice for them. And because they weren't thankful to me and they didn't praise me the way I wanted it, I'm going to get them good today. That's not my God. That's not my God. He doesn't do that kind of stuff. God doesn't say, hey, I'm out to get you. I'm out to take you out. I'm thankful for that. Amen. I'm thankful God's got enough grace and enough mercy that even when I'm being the part of me that I don't like so much, that God said, I still love him. You know, when Abigail does something silly, I'm like, such a knucklehead. And I can just hear that coming from God sometimes saying, such a knucklehead. One day he'll get it. And God says, you know what? I love you enough to put you among a body of Christ that also will show my grace and show my mercy to you. Put you amongst a body of Christ that's not out to get you. You know what? You ain't got to watch your back around this group, Nate, because this is my bride. This is my body that I put on earth to comfort you when you're down, to rejoice with you when you're up. That's also something I can be thankful for, that God has put me amongst people that love Him and care about Him. We also got to thank God that in hard times, we know that God can take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it to good. That God can take a bad situation that we look at and we see it as hopeless. And God says, you know, but I see a miracle here. I see a restoration here. I was thinking today about Joseph and how, you know, that Joseph was a guy that he was so full of life. He was so full of energy. And God had been so good to him. And God had used him. And God had given him visions and dreams. And Joseph was just someone that it was hard for him to stay in the now because he was so excited about what God was going to do tomorrow. And Joseph, for being so full of life and so full of energy and just wanting to go change the world right now. And he had a bunch of people around him that were jealous. They were jealous of that energy, that joy, that why can't we have that? They were jealous of how people responded when they were around Joseph. Joseph walked in a room and the room lit up and they were jealous that why can't I have that? Why don't I have that? Why don't people like me like that? And he was surrounded by people trying to pull him down and separate him from his dreams. And those people, they said, you know, we're going to destroy him. We're so sick of this being around us all the time. We're going to take out the competition. And they throw him down in a well. And then that wasn't good enough. They sold him into slavery. And now Joseph ends up a slave. And Joseph could have been, you know what, I don't see a way out of this. But see, Joseph realized something when he was in the well, when he was sold into slavery, when he was eventually thrown into jail for a crime he didn't commit. Something Joseph, I believe, recognized about God. You see, when you When you love someone and you know they love you back, it's really hard for you to comprehend a situation where you get in trouble and they abandon you. It's really hard for you to get in a situation where you think that this person that I believe loves me, I believe with all my heart this person loves me. It's really hard for Joseph to realize a situation where God had the capacity to protect him. God had the capacity to do good to him and chose not to. You see, it's really hard to get angry at a God that you think loves you. When you have a relationship with God and you know God loves me, God's got my back, then when you're in a rough situation, your first instinct is not to say, God, where are you at? Because you know he loves me. He didn't leave me. He wouldn't do that to me. He didn't put me in a bad situation because he wouldn't do that to me. He didn't allow me to be destroyed because he won't do that to me. And Joseph said, well, I got a God that's got my back. And you know what? I'm going to thank him. God, I thank you for the dreams you gave me. I thank you for the vision you gave me. I thank you because it could be worse. And when you love someone, you know they love you. You're looking for the good. And you're looking to see, okay, you know, I know this looks bad, but you know, I'm really excited because I think God's got something good tomorrow. And you know what? Today, I know I'm in jail, but did you see, I got to help this guy. He couldn't understand his dream. I got to help him. And then you know what? A little while later, when that prisoner got restored to his position, and Joseph got to say, see? Look at that. I knew God was doing something good. And even when Joseph was forgotten by the people around him, the people he had helped, the people he had blessed. Pastor talked this morning about, isn't it awfully hard to do nice things for people when you know they're not thankful? Even when Joseph got forgotten by the people who should have been extremely thankful to him, yep, they forgot me, but my God didn't. And because he was able to realize and to trust, God still loves me, God was able to use him. He was able to teach him things. Because as good as Joseph was, as good as of a dude as he was, as good as his intentions were, apparently the dude could be kind of annoying to people with his positivity. Apparently he still had some lessons to learn. God said, you know what? You got really good enthusiasm. I like the spirit, but let me teach you a few things. Let me show you how to love people, to be in the moment sometimes, Joseph. When Joseph, his mind was a flight risk. And God said, well, if you get dumped in a well for a while, sold into slavery and thrown into jail, I'll confine you to the moment somehow. And Joseph was able to become a very good leader because he said, no matter where God takes me, I know he's with me. I know he's got my back. And it's important to be thankful in the hard times. It's also important to be thankful to God in the good times. If you turn with me, never mind, I'll just tell you the story. Stories are more fun. So God told King Saul, he said, Saul, you know, those Amalekites, that some nasty people. And they've always been attacking my people. They've always been taking them out. And God gave Saul what so many of us wish God would give us to do. A license to kick the butt of your enemy. Right? He came in the New Testament. There's all this love your enemies and do good to people who hate you and stuff. But God gave Saul that beautiful license. You know, I want you, don't just win. I want you to destroy everything about them. And Saul, he was excited like we would be. But you would think he'd be like, God, I am so thankful that you gave me the okay to take out my enemy. I'll do it the way you tell me to do it. But Saul got into the battle and he was kicking Amalekite butt. He was destroying them. And then he got halfway through. He said, man, I'm doing a really good job. This vengeance thing, I'm actually pretty good at it. And so he decided, I'm going to take a few trophies. I'm gonna do things a little bit my way. And so he said, you know what, the king, I want the king for me, okay? I'm gonna make him walk around in my throne. Whenever I get kind of down and depressed, I'm gonna tell him, hey, bring him out so I can remember I won. And so he took him as a trophy, and he said, you know what, all you guys, that sacrifice we're gonna give God, why don't you give them their stuff? Don't use yours. And so they took all the good stuff and then killed everything they didn't like and burnt everything they didn't like and destroyed everything they didn't like. The reason it's important to give God thanks in the good times is because it's important that we don't try to take the glory from God. When we're in good times, it's important to say, God, thank you for the good times, and I'm thanking you because I know where this good time's coming from. Amen? Now you can turn with me in scripture there. Bear with me, I haven't set the settings on my phone about the screen. It keeps going off on me. But I appreciate it. I'm thankful for your bearing with me there. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. It says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. What Saul was trying to do was trying to say, hey, you know what? I did a really good job taking out the Amalekites. I did good. And God said, no. I did good. I told you you can do it. I gave you the permission. Not only that, I gave you the victory. That's why when Samuel came up, he said, what is this? What's going on here? God wanted you to obey, Saul. Because it's his victory. When you start taking things that don't belong to you, and you start patting yourself on the back and saying, you know what, I did pretty good today. God says, but I thought you asked me to do that. I did it for you. I want you to give me the glory. That's one of the reasons God said, you know what, Saul, you're done. I'm done with you. You're not going to be the king anymore. And God said, I'm going to find somebody who's going to give me the glory, who's going to praise my name and shout my praises. And so God found a young man named David and said, David, I'm going to anoint you to be the king here. And what he saw immediately after that, we see David say, he's taking a stroll going to his brothers, and he sees a Goliath there. And he goes up to him and he says, hey, I'm not going to let you talk bad about my God. Even when the army behind him, his brothers and the other soldiers, like, look at this show off. All right, guys, let's get a good seat and watch him get destroyed. And David said, no, God's going to give me the victory. And you know how I know that? Because one day I was fighting a lion and God gave me the victory. One day I was fighting a bear and God gave me the victory. And you know what, Goliath? He didn't say, Goliath, I'm going to kick your butt. He said, just like God gave me the victory then, God will give me the victory now. And he was able to say, hey, you're going down, and I'm going to give praise to God. And God made David the king. And I saw in the scripture the other day, I was reading when David said, you know what, I got to have the ark back. I got to have the presence of God back here. God's given me victories, but I'm leaving his ark sitting out here in the middle of nowhere. I got to get that back to the place where God wants to be worshipped. I want to get this back. I want God to be first. I don't want all of us hanging out here around Jerusalem and God's presence is over there. Let's bring it here. Let's put it first. And we all know the story. David goes out and he tries to bring it back. He tries to do it his way and it doesn't work, right? He says, I'm so messed up here. God, I tried to do it my way. But he says, you know what, God? We're going to do it your way now. And if you turn with me to 1 Chronicles, the scripture up there, chapter 16, verse 26, it says, because God was helping the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 rams. We read about the sacrifice and we say, you know what, he's happy that God's blessing him. But in scripture there it says the reason that he was sacrificing, he was giving the glory to God because he knew God helped them carry the ark. He says, God, the glory's yours. You know what? I walked a couple more paces today. The glory's yours, God. You know what? I walked 6 more paces now. The glory's still yours. Every step I take, God, you're protecting me. You're helping me. You're not just letting me wander through life alone, but God, you're helping me. Your presence is going with me, and you're giving me strength. Sometimes we go through life, and we're like, you know, I'm so exhausted. I leave work. I come home. I'm playing with the kids. I'm trying to make dinner. I'm trying to get the house straight up. Let's hurry up and get to church real quick. Okay, you know what? Oh, we got Bible quizzing, and we got to teach Sunday school. I got to do this. God, I'm so exhausted. You know, sometimes I get there too. And I'll be at work one day, and I'll hear people talking about their plans, and they're leaving work, and they're going home making some mac and cheese and watching TV. Man, that sounds good. I haven't got to do that in a long time. God, how do I keep the schedule I keep when these people are acting tired with going home and watching TV? But you know what? I know God gives me strength. God, I want to make a difference in people's lives. God, I want to do great things for you. But God, I want to give you the glory. And you know what? When God gives us the strength, God says, hey, you're going to do something for my kingdom? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to keep you in good health. I'm going to help you. And when we can realize things that, like David, where he says, not just God, you gave me the victory over the giant. Those are the easy times. Those are the easy times because everybody knows you couldn't do that. You think of some of the best times in your life, the greatest things God's done for you, right? Like, man, God healed me of this. Everybody knows you didn't do that. That's easy to give God the credit for. But do we give God the credit for helping us walk those 6 paces? Let me stop and sacrifice to you. And the important thing to notice there is that's the times it's hard. Because it was a sacrifice of praise. It was an offering of thanksgiving. It wasn't something that was easy for David to do. It's really easy to shout and give praise to God when everybody's rejoicing around you for a victory. But how easy is it to remember daily the things God's doing for you? That's why, because it's so hard and we don't do it, that's why sometimes we can get distracted and get down in the dumpers. And we can get depressed and we can feel lonely and isolated because we're focusing on the bad stuff. That whole trip, guys, that whole trip, David could have been focused on, oh man, I hope somebody doesn't touch that ark and die. That's the same road he just took a little while ago. That's the same path. He's walking in the same steps he failed before. All right, God, but I'm going to try it your way. We're still alive. Let's thank you. You know what? Let's go a few more paces. Let's go a few more. I know I failed here before. I know I went through some hard times, but still alive. Let's thank him again. If I can focus on the positive, if I can focus on the blessings. I love the saying that, is it my great-grandfather? That said, look, he woke me up this morning. He didn't have to, but he did. And God, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful, God, that the job I'm going to, that I'm running late and I'm a little frustrated because I'm running late this morning and the weather's bad and that crazy person that's driving 10 miles an hour under the speed limit and the boss is going to think that it was my fault. But I'm going to a job. You know what? I like some of my coworkers. You know what? It's not the job I had before that I didn't like. God, you're blessing me. You're good to me. When we can keep those in focus and say, God, I'm going to trust you. That's when God said, okay, now I can do something with you. Now I can bless you. Now I can have someone in this church that can help somebody else. Because we can't be a church full of people that need the help, guys. We're all going to have our days. But the body's here to help each other. And so when you have your down days, we're going to be here to help you. But when I'm having mine, I want you here to help me. Amen. Because he's a good God, and I refuse to believe that. If I say it the nice way, I refuse to believe he's as rough on some of you guys as you think. He can't be so good to me and forget about you. He can do two things at once. So it's important, guys, that we focus on the good stuff too and say, God, I'm not just going to thank you in the hard times when I need, when I'm focused on you out of need. I'm not just going to thank you in the really good times when everybody knows it wasn't me anyways. But God, I'm going to focus on you in the daily walk with you. You know what? I got to the middle of the day and you're still with me, Lord. Sometimes when people at work try to come against you, when people in your home try to come against you and they try to steal your joy, you can choose to say, no, he's been good to me. I'm going to choose to thank him. I'm going to choose to keep my joy.